number of bills before the committee this afternoon. I hope we can get through with most of them. We'll start with Senate Bill number 411. Senator Binkley, I don't think we're on teleconference for this particular bill.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just briefly, Senate Bill 411 is...
Mr. Senator Binkley, we might as well use it as long as we're there.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 411 is kind of a companion bill to the legislation that was passed last year, which required warning signs in establishments that sold alcoholic beverages warned generally of the potential problems of drinking alcoholic beverages during pregnancy. Of course, many of the areas of Alaska where people do consume alcohol don't have the opportunity to get the benefit of that warning sign when they receive their purchases of alcohol through the mail or through a shipment of a common carrier. This would simply require anyone who does ship alcoholic beverages out to include a brochure similar to this one that's put out by the March of Dimes in with that shipment of alcoholic beverages, so that people who consume alcohol who have not had the benefit of reading the warning signs in an establishment that sells it would still get the benefit of the warnings and some of the information that's available. They're estimated that there are about 50,000 to 70,000 shipments each year. There are approximately 39 businesses who are licensed to send out mail order shipments of alcohol, and each of those brochures costs about 2.5 cents each. So if there were 50,000 brochures sent out, the total cost of that would be about $1,250. There are 40 licensees, as I mentioned, so the if that were averaged out equally, each licensee would cost probably about $30 each to purchase a supply of those brochures from the March of Dimes and include one brochure in with each mail order that went out. I don't believe there is any fiscal note that's attached from any state agency. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd entertain any questions or...
Thank you, Senator.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, Senator Binkley, you don't say brochure in here. You just say information on fetal alcohol syndrome. What would be just sticking one of the signs in the shipment?
Mr. Chairman, if I could, I would envision that the ABC board would have some kind of a regulation as a result of this legislation that would specify what the brochure, what the information would actually be that would go out in the mail order shipments, and I would envision something similar to that March of Dimes brochure.
Thank you, Senator. Any further questions?
No, Mr. Chairman, I don't have any problem with it. It's just that it didn't specify a brochure, and somebody stick a sign in there say, "Don't drink if you're pregnant."
Senator Rohde.
Mr. Chairman, have we had any response from the package store owners as to how they would handle it or any comments they would have?
Mr. Chairman, if I could respond. I haven't had any direct response from the package store owners. I know I've spoken with Mr. Urian, I believe, and I'm not sure who his clients are exactly, but they haven't expressed any concern, and I haven't sensed any opposition from the alcohol industry. But it may be there, I'm not certain.
Thank you, Senator. Any further questions? I would hope that we wouldn't have the experience we had with the signs.
Yeah.
This is a reasonable approach. I think it's beneficial. I don't know why people would oppose it. It's not going to really have much effect upon their sales, I'm sure. It's a way to get information out. We have one person here, Juno, that testified. Marie Watchman.
Well, she's coming up, Mr. Chairman. We've got the right inches on the signs, have we, Senator?
Through the chair. Yes, Senator Cogill, I think we're squared away on the sign of the letters on the signs and also, of course, the contrast in colors, which should halt any confusion that may be out there on the part of vendors.
Maria represents the March of Dimes. Proceed.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Marie Mochman. I'm Southeast Alaska Division Director for the March of Dimes. I'd like to thank Mr. Chairman and distinguished senators for allowing me this opportunity to show our support for Senator Binkley and the co-sponsors of this piece of legislation. I'd like to thank you also for your quick expediency on this bill. Three words about drinking is, while pregnant, don't do it, is our new brochure that replaces Will My Drinking Hurt My Baby? I believe that if the merchants impacted by SB 411, we're aware of this brochure being available through the March of Dimes for 2.5 cents a brochure, that it would be beneficial for all. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Thank you.
Do you wish a motion, Mr. Chairman?
Motion,
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we pass Senate Bill 411 from committee with individual recommendations.
Skip objections? Down. Motion carried. Senate Bill 455. Senator Binkley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill may be a little more controversial than the former one. Basically, it's a fairly short and simple bill. It would, and it was introduced as a point of discussion, really, to get the issue on the table. And don't necessarily contend that this is a definitive answer to the problem, but it's appeared to me kind of odd that the state of Alaska spends literally millions of dollars on our alcohol programs in Alaska and tens of millions of dollars on dealing with the results of alcohol abuse in Alaska, and yet we spend several million dollars every year in funding a state television system, communication system, that beams out to many of the areas in Alaska that have some of the worst problems with alcohol abuse, the message of consuming more alcohol. And I just do not feel that it's a proper role of the state government to subsidize, and that's really what we do. We not only, when we put several million dollars into the RatNet program every year, we not only subsidize the cost of getting those programs out to the consumers, but we also subsidize the cost of those advertisements that go out to the consumers. Obviously, those ads that pay for the programming don't pay enough to reach those markets, and the state has to subsidize, to the tune of a couple million dollars every year, those programs, and thus subsidizes the ads for those programs. So, in effect, we're paying state money to, in many cases, promote consumption of alcoholic beverages, when, on the other hand, we're paying millions of dollars to try and slow down the amount of money or the amount of abuse or consumption of alcohol and the resulting abuse of it. And so with that idea in mind, I introduced Senate Bill 455, which basically would prohibit the RatNet, the Department of Administration, through RatNet, of accepting any programming that would contain ads promoting the sale or consumption of alcoholic beverages. It's not intended that the RatNet agency would be the one to go through and edit the programming that comes to them, but that they could not accept any programming that contained those advertisements. I'm continually learning, Mr. Chairman, about how the process works, and by introducing the bill, I've gotten a much better understanding of the associations between the affiliates and the networks and RatNet. And I think that there is some mechanism that we may be able to come up with that would allow for the local affiliates to actually screen out some of the alcohol advertisements and hopefully substitute in their place local advertising that they could sell locally that would allow advertisers within Alaska to reach many of the consumers in the rural area through the RatNet program, and thus generate revenue and income from selling those ads that would replace the lost revenue by deleting the alcohol advertisements. So that's kind of the spirit in which I introduced this legislation, and I'm sure there are two sides to the issue, and will be a lot of interesting discussion and debate on the legislation from around the state. And I look forward to that and hope that I can learn some more about it and that we can find some kind of an approach or solution that will not put the state in the position of spending millions of dollars to promote not drinking alcohol and at the same time subsidize ads that do promote it. And it really does. I mean, that's the purpose of advertising, and it works. It's effective in getting people to consume more of whatever the product is that you're trying to sell. And so it seems a travesty to me that the state is actually subsidizing that advertising out in rural areas, particularly in the state of Alaska.
Thanks, Senator. I don't really have any difficulty. I don't have any problem with the concept, but I'm really interested in how they can do it. And if you're going to put Budweiser in Super Bowl versus RatNet, I don't think you're going to win that one. But I think we could hear from some people who would tell us the mechanics of how this could be accomplished. I think maybe we can learn something from this. So we have a Paul Manette from the Department of Administration.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't mind the state subsidizing the Super Bowl, but I do take exception to them subsidizing the Bud Bowl.
Bud Bowl is better than Super Bowl.
Yeah, my kids shared that, so.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Coggio.
I don't have any problem with what you're trying to do here. My biggest problem, I see, Senator, is that we would be denied a certain national network inputs because they're certainly not going to feed the World Series up here and then have us take out the advertising. They'd probably deny us the right to have that World Series. And maybe RatNet doesn't carry it. Maybe RatNet, the state satellite program, doesn't carry those things, so maybe it's moot. But, that would seem to be the big problem, is the base basketball series or that advertises Coors beer or Budweiser or something like that. Maybe if we cut this down to hard liquor or something, maybe we, because it just seems to me that
just a comment. There's been criticism of the concept of state dollars being used on RatNet for sporting events when it was intended as an educational channel. So there are other reasons and other objections to some of the programs that particularly the ones that are the most offensive in terms of promoting the use of alcohol. So I think that Senator Binkley's bill has a two-pronged approach, because I don't think we should do away with RatNet. It has subtle and perhaps not so subtle programming changes are warranted, particularly those that encourage problems that we're spending a great deal of time and effort to try and curtail.
Thank you. Paul, would you mind coming forward? You probably have to answer some questions. We're going to go on teleconference here. There might be some questions that people out here are going to pose for us. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chairman, we have my Deputy Director for Telecommunications, John Barone, is on teleconference in Anchorage right now.
Okay, fine. Well, first we'll go to Fairbanks, and we'll have Helen Haynes in Fairbanks, TANROC Chief Conference.
Mr. Chairman, committee members of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee, my name is Helen Anden Haynes. I work with TANROC Chief Conference as the Deputy Director of Community Health, and I would like to make a few comments in favor of Senate Bills 411 and 455. But first, just some general information about our region. The nationwide birth rate of SAS children is 1 to 3 per 1,000 births. The Native Alaskan birth rate is 4.2 children out of every 1,000 births for SAS. In the TCC region, it is estimated at 5.9 SAS cases per 1,000 births, which translates into about 1 to 2 full-blown SAS children in our region every year. And it does have one of the highest SAS birth rates nationwide. TCC is committed to combating SAS through education and treatment. It is one of the highest priorities for our company. In order to combat this health problem, we must be able to make an all-out effort to educate the women and their partners about the dangers of drug and alcohol use during pregnancy. Senate Bill 411, a bill which would require written information on fetal alcohol syndrome to be included in all shipments of alcohol beverages, would allow a strong message to be sent to consumers of alcohol that drinking during pregnancy would result in devastating effects to the child. For Senate Bill 455, the bill which would prohibit alcohol beverage advertising on RatNet, which would, disallow alcoholic beverage commercials. As most people know, alcohol is a very large problem among Native people in Alaska. No other problem threatens our survival as Native people than does the impact of alcohol on our villages and families. TCC has expended a lot of effort and money in the past years in educating our constituents, our health providers, and our leaders on the destructive effects of alcohol abuse. RatNet is oftentimes the only electronic media out in rural Alaska. It is a form of education and entertainment which is used frequently throughout the day. The liquor industry spends millions of dollars each year to attract consumers and to encourage consumption of alcoholic beverages. Many of the marketing techniques are geared to attract women and younger people. The ads do not question the social consequences of alcohol abuse, and advertising does affect the attitudes, social behavior, and what consumers will purchase. We do not need encouragement from the liquor industry to promote alcohol consumption. The alcohol beverage advertisements are insensitive to the actual situation in rural Alaska and the alcohol-related problems we have to deal with. A statewide newspaper, the Tundra Times, has chosen not to accept alcohol advertisements, although it had been a large part of their income, because the native subscribers did not want to see those ads. The Tundra Times has found other sources of funds to take the place of those lost by the alcohol industry. Another example is that a major alcoholic beverage company had asked to sponsor the World Eskimo Indian Olympics, and its support has been refused. The vast majority of consumers for RatNet are located in rural Alaska. It is the choice of those consumers, at least in our region, and reflected through dozens of resolutions passed by the AFN, to not support any program, function, or activity that supports the consumption of alcohol. We realize that there may be some technical difficulties and costs to implement this particular bill, but in the short and long term, those difficulties and costs will be minimal if we can eliminate alcohol abuse among our people. We would appreciate your favorable consideration to Senate Bills 411 and 455. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? I guess I have just one. That is, usually it's the sports programs that are advertising the beer. And I'm sure that by eliminating those types of programming for RatNet, we would solve the problem. But would you support something like that?
Yes, we would.
Thank you. Sam Dimitriev?
Dimitriev.
He's approaching the mic just a moment.
Thank you.
He stepped out for a minute. If you could come back to him, please.
He stepped out, apparently.
Okay, fine. We'll go to Anchorage then. Anchorage, we have.
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the committee, my name is Jimmy Kennedy. I work for the Rural Alaska Community Action Program, RoCAP, as the executive director. And I would like to thank you for this opportunity to provide testimony on Senate Bill 455, which proposes to eliminate alcohol advertisements on RAP. I really like that testimony that just preceded mine. I agree with her 100%. You know, in all the United States, alcoholism is a serious problem, not just in rural Alaska. And I think that this bill that Senator Binkley is introducing, you know, shows a lot of social consciousness, because we've got to get out of this idea that somehow drinking and alcohol can be equated with health and the good life. Because in rural Alaska, and in much of America, this just isn't true. Rural CAP is a statewide organization, and we operate Head Starts in 33 communities. We serve almost 1,000 children. And one of the things that we know about children is that they learn mostly by observing and what they see and what's modeled before them. The children of rural Alaska have a difficult time as it is because of the epidemic of alcoholism. And if a TV is left on and they're seeing that, you know, how you live your life and be healthy and jump into the pool and come out the winter and then have your beer. You know, this is sending out a message that's just not true. Drinking does not lead to healthy lives for most needed people. So I believe that in the social conscious that we can really afford, you know, in this state to promote the alcohol industry like this. I agree with Senator Dinkley and what he said, you know. We've been really in the dollars on one hand to treat the results of alcoholism and what's happening and the cost in the system, in the social services system, and in the jails and whatnot. And then, you know, think that Alaska has a chance to become a role model for things that could be done nationwide to begin attacking this problem of alcohol and drug abuse. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Thank you very much. Do we have a go to BG Randlett, KIMO?
My name is BG Randlett. I'm with the KIMO TV, the ABC affiliate in Anchorage. We are one of the stations that provide ABC programming through our affiliation to be aired on RadNet. In our network affiliation agreement, it does not allow us to remove or eliminate portions of the program. In other words, we can't take out any kind of commercial material or any portions of the program. We are required to run them from start to finish. And that's in our agreement with the networks. When we give this programming to RadNet or to be played on RadNet, we have continued on with that agreement to extend over into the RadNet also. I'm not speaking either for or against that. This is just the problem of trying to eliminate commercial material from the program. Seems getting that commercial material from the program is going to be extremely difficult. That's all I have to say.
I know.
That's right.
Thank you very much. We have a question from Senator Fakes.
Yes, thank you very much. This is Jan Fakes. Is it technically possible, though, if it weren't written in your agreement, that you would show the program from start to finish and everything in between? Is it technically possible to scramble that commercial or black out that commercial when you're sending it, transferring it on into RatNet? Technically, how would you do that?
Well, it would have to happen, though, like we stated before, a lot of these programming is sports and live programming. You would not be able to do it on a live basis. You'd have to take the latest thing, you'd have to take the tin and take the program, which is on videotape, and then edit.
Well, how come you can't do it on live? Don't you have an engineer sitting there monitoring the program? Now, I'm honestly just trying to figure out technically if even this is possible. So you need to tell me, you're getting a live program in from the Lower 48, right? You got an engineer sitting there watching that live program, or somebody sitting there watching that live program, don't you?
But the station we do, I can't speak for the state tape right now when it goes out. But if you've got somebody that's sitting there watching the programming, you've got to wait until the commercial comes on and wait until you determine whether it is an ad for beer or not, or what is it. And you get into the middle of the spot, then you're going to, you can punch the button and push it off and go black, and then what are you going to do?
Okay. So you can push a button and make the commercial go black. Then how do you get the programming back?
When the commercial's over, I suppose you can push it back to the programming.
Okay, so like you could have two monitors there, one that's bringing the program into the station and one that's sending it out over the RatNet channel, and you could black it out, and then you'd know exactly when it was done, and you could pop it back on and continue transmitting out on RatNet. Is that how it would work?
I'm not too sure I understand what you're talking about. We're talking about live programming. The live programs go straight over to state tape here, and then they go on over to RatNet. It's a live show. I mean, you're looking at it, and you know, time is passing, and you're watching a commercial, and it starts. But when you determine that it's an ad you don't want to run.
Okay, I'm not worried about that.
At that point, I suppose you could turn it off.
Okay, now I'm not worried about when you turn it off. I mean, what the ad is. Ignore that for right now. Just tell me technically. Technically, this is possible, right? The signal is coming in from the Lower 48. You have an engineer sitting there, and if I remember correctly, Channel 13 must have a dozen consoles sitting there. So you're watching the program come in, and you can technically push a switch and stop that signal from coming in, and then lift the switch, and the signal will continue going out. Is that technically correct?
Yeah, I believe so. I think we've probably got to let John Rome from the Division of Telecommunications answer that, because I can't really speak for them. Because when they do that,
they
would
take
that home.
That's where they would be, pushing the button.
They don't want to do it, so they're not talking.
Yeah.
Senator
Coghill.
This is Senator Coghill, but if you push that button and you blacked out that particular ad, you would have to have a predetermined agreement with the network that you were going to do that, because they've already paid for having that network on when you're transferring it to RatNet. Why, then somebody else would have to pick up that prorated cost that advertiser is being paid to make it a national broadcast. Is that not correct?
Yes, at this point in time, with our affiliate agreement, if you go push the button and take the spot off, they're not going to let us run the entire show.
That's the point. Can you provide us with a copy of that agreement?
Pardon me?
Can you provide us with a copy of that agreement?
I suppose so. It's in our affiliate agreement. It's the agreement is between ABC and Channel 13.
RatNet just getting it for free?
I don't know. Any further questions?
Okay. Is RatNet getting then, are you transferring it then to RatNet for free? Is that what you're saying? Is that you have an agreement between ABC and your station, but do you have an agreement then between the State of Alaska Telecommunications Program and your station to view those particular programs and that you will carry the national advertisers with it? I guess the thing is that if we go with this bill, then we have to say those national organizations or those national programs will just have to be banned from RatNet.
Yes, I believe that's the way it is right now. That's the way it's true. I don't know what's in writing between RatNet and the affiliate stations. It's been a long time since originally was started.
Senator Binkley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Andlett, I know the chairman asked you if we could get a copy of your agreement between Channel 13 and ABC. I'm not sure if I really caught the answer to that.
Yeah, I can take a look and see where it is, and I can give you, I'm not going to give you the whole agreement, but I can give you the section where that's stated in there.
I think that would be adequate. I know I've looked at the NBC agreement between the affiliate and the network, and all it basically says that they cannot do that without NBC's prior written authorization. There's nothing really to indicate in here that NBC would be opposed to that necessarily, and as a matter of fact, in some research that we had done by the Senate Research or Legislative Research Agency, they did contact one of the networks back in New York, and according to one of the executives, that the affiliates, yourselves, have considerable latitude in this area, and that they would not necessarily be adverse to exploring a possibility like that. And I'm wondering if you have actually approached ABC and asked them directly whether they would be opposed to that or not.
Yes, I called our affiliate representative in New York today. As a matter of fact, I read him that section out of the information that states that we have a lot of
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Who was the individual you spoke with, Mr. Andlett? And if you have his phone number, I'd appreciate it.
His name is Peter Sobel. I don't have the phone number with me, but I can get it to you.
Okay, thank you. We can maybe contact you after the hearing and get that from you.
Okay.
Thank you. I have one further question. Obviously, there are other ways to approach this issue. There are numerous programs that do not advertise beer, but most of the sport programs do. Now, a simple solution, I would think, would be not to run those sport programs. Run something else in their place. Now, technically or mechanically, is that simple or not?
Well, that's up to the, I think, the Run Network, what they want to run. That means that they just won't be able to pick out any sporting programs if they want to dump all that out of what they run on the network or on their Run Net. That's up to them.
Well, that's not the answer to the question. The question is, would that be a burden of saying, for example, you knew that the Super Bowl had beer advertising, so you would just not have the Super Bowl. You'd have something in its place. Mechanically, is that workable without a great deal of expense?
I can't.
Well, I think that's a question maybe that Mr. Rome could answer better than I don't care.
Could I ask one other? Senator Pinkley. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one other technical question, Mr. Andlett. Senator Frakes was asking about the technical ability to actually black out those ads. Is there a way when you're receiving the signal live and transmitting it on to RatNet live of having a delay in there, say a 1 minute or a 5 minute delay between when you're receiving the signal and then sending it out to RatNet?
Yeah, sure. Technically, I suppose that's possible to do that. I don't know what it would cost, but it's possible to do almost anything.
Put it on
print.
Thank you. Maybe we ought to go to Kotzebue, where RatNet is a very important item. Kotzebue, are you on the line?
Space program, though.
The figure industry.
Hello, this is Linda Kavulik. I'm the RatNet Council member representing the North Borough area. It's interesting to hear these comments on the commercial ads on RatNet. One of the things the RatNet Council does not do is control the advertisements on the satellite stations. We receive the programs from ABC, CBS, NBC, and you know, all the networks. And it would be hard, really would be hard, to screen the advertisements on the air. One of the things that the RatNet Council that we strongly support in our meetings are public service announcements that we try to provide on the satellite stations, you know, when the commercials come on. We have quite a few corporations from throughout the state who produce these commercials or the public service announcements. And one of the things that we do in our meetings is, you know, take a look at the PSAs, and a lot of them we strongly support. And I would encourage, you know, everyone that's listening to keep that in mind, you know, when you're discussing this House Bill number 455. Another thing that I wanted to make note also is that if there's any discussion on RatNet, the council members would really, you know, I think would really be interested to know, you know, what's going on in the legislature. As a RatNet council member, I just found out, I think it was the other day, when I was in Kiana, or was it Monday, when I was getting ready to leave for the shareholders meeting, that I found out that this was going to be discussed. And I would really appreciate the legislature if you can contact the RatNet council members. You know, let us know what's on your mind, because, you know, like I said, I didn't know this was going to be brought up, you know, for a teleconference discussion.
Thank you. Melinda? Melinda Davidicks. Senator Pinkley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Linda, I appreciate your making the committee aware of the disclaimers that RatNet does put on the air. I'm just looking through a report that was done by the House State Affairs Committee, Representative Boucher and Representative McLean, and it gives some examples of the ID disclaimers. Here's a typical one for the week of March 14th to the 20th. It shows that the ID disclaimers came on at 1:30 in the morning on Monday, 1:30 in the morning on Tuesday, 1:30 in the morning on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, there weren't any disclaimers. Saturday, it was 1:30 again, and Sunday, again, 1:30 in the morning. And it seems like it's the same schedule a few of the weeks that they show here. So it's as one of the people who testified earlier, I think Janine Kennedy from RuralCap, that particularly for the young people, they're not necessarily up watching TV at 1:30 in the morning, and if it's a written disclaimer, sometimes it just doesn't get the attention that that the alcohol ads themselves would get.
Okay, what are the things that I can bring up in our next council meeting is the disclaimer and make sure that, you know, we show it on a daily basis or even in between commercials, even after, you know, like alcoholic beverage commercials, you know, that we do not support alcohol beverage commercials that come on the satellite stations.
Linda, does your group select the programming for the for RadNet?
Yes, we do. We select all the programs that come on the air, and that's from all the networks, you know, that we take a look at the programs, but one of the things that we do not do is screen the commercials.
I understand that, but your committee could, in fact, look at the programs that are available and choose those that do not advertise beer and say these are the programs we want, and that would eliminate the problem. Is that correct?
Yes, we can do that, but it would really be difficult to do, you know, trying to eliminate sports programs, because that's a real big, I mean, the people from the rural areas are, the sports programs are very popular, you know, in the region.
I understand that, but if you... you still have that authority to do that now. You could choose those programs that do not have alcoholic advertisements. Are you willing to do that?
We're willing to do that if we know ahead of time, you know, if the commercials contain the ads. You know, we would need to know that ahead of time before we approve the program.
Well, I'm sure that all sports programs do contain those types of ads, and the rest of them don't. I don't know of any children's programs that have beer ads or... the immediate soap operas even. But I do know that the sport programs have a great deal of ads. So it seems to me that the choices would be either eliminate those programs and do away with the problem, or else try to find a way of blacking out the ads if it's possible. If not, we don't know. But there seems to be some discussion that end that we haven't resolved that issue. But one simple way to do it would just don't program those programs that advertise liquor, period. You're, you know, that's it.
That is the way to do it.
Okay, one of the things that we probably all can do is boycott Budweiser, you know, write letters to, you know, the liquor industries and, you know, start from there.
It's not Budweiser's problem. If you want to eliminate alcohol advertising on RadNet, just don't choose any programs that advertise alcohol.
It's a simple way.
Mm-hmm, that's, you know,
an administrative function.
Oh, heck, it's here.
Well, this is one of the things that I'd like to bring up to the RadNet Council, and, you know, I'd really appreciate it if the legislature can let us know ahead of time when these kind of discussions are brought up on RadNet.
Thank you very much. Any further questions from the committee? Thank you. Can we go back to Fairbanks?
Prohibition.
Yeah, thank you. Sam, we've already taken care of Senate Bill 411. Will you address your remarks to Senate Bill 455?
Nothing more than 54.
Okay. On 411, the one in favor of 411. But on Senate Bill 455,
do right now.
I think that RadNet should be used for the purpose of assisting and informing, not for advertising of alcohol and drugs. We're in favor of the bill, and I'm speaking on behalf of the board of directors of the Fairbanks Native Association and myself. the cost of caring for fetal alcohol syndrome children far outweighs the benefit of live programming or entertainment, I think. And as legislators and myself and all the rest of the listening as citizens of the state, we're going to have to be paying for the results if we aren't aware of what happens when alcohol is sold in a village or anywhere in the state and results in
positions. Sam, I have just one question. Has the Fairbanks Native Association been in contact with the people who program RatNet and expressed your opposition to showing programming that contains liquor ads?
No, we haven't, but one of the things that could be considered, that I thought of was, just not have the liquor industries as advertisers, but I heard the testimony of the lady just before me, and I would suggest that you see the Olympics, I think, and the Goodwill Games probably are advertised and sponsored by Visa and American Express, and if you can get those type of sponsors, I think that would preclude or eliminate the alcohol industry.
Thank you. Questions, committee? Thank you very much. Can we go back to Anchorage? We have Teresa Devlin, AFM.
Hi, my name is Teresa Amanda Devlin, otherwise known as Tiny, and I work at the Alaska Federation of Native Farm Legislative Assistant. One of the things that I started working on is the Blue Ribbon Commission. And that was brought about as a result of a resolution that AFN passed recently. And I'd like to read a little bit from a statement that was developed. Many rural Alaskan communities are finding that alcohol is undermining the ability of rural residents to control their lives. Alcohol abuse has become the fuel that fires the cycle of violence and self-destruction. The greatest toll of this problem is that taken on young native adults, particularly native males between the ages of preteen to 20s. Infants not yet born to alcohol syndrome, and these children who often continue the pattern by becoming abusive parents themselves. The destruction wreaked by alcohol abuse can be quantified by lives. Suicide, 4 times the national average, and among native males from 20 to 24, 14 times the national average. Homicide, 4 times the national average, has become the 6th or 7th most common cause of death. Accidental death, 3 times the national average, leading cause of death of alcohol natives, of Alaska natives. Firing and imprisonment evidence indicates that between 80 to 100% of the natives perpetrated violent crime is alcohol related. And birth defects, fetal alcohol syndrome is leading cause of native birth defects and is twice the national average. To address this growing concern, the delegates of the 1988 AFN Convention passed a resolution directing AFN to monitor, evaluate, and coordinate efforts to curb alcohol and drug abuse and to work with local native organizations to develop community-based alcohol abuse programs. The Alaska Native Blue Ribbon Commission on Alcohol and Drug Abuse was created by AFN as the vehicle to carry out the mandate of the resolution. The commission adopted the mission to support and encourage the growing sobriety of drug-free movement among Alaska Natives. One of the things that came to mind is when I was in high school in 1964, I was sent back to Washington, D.C., to participate in a national program that was sponsored by Surgeon General, and that was for youth across the nation to look at smoking. And as we gathered there and talked about why we started smoking, why we do smoke, and what started us, we realized that a lot of it was brought about by the advertisements that youth in its growth and development strives to look for things that help them make them feel good, to look good. And one of the things that happened last convention, we normally had the Tucker Times banquet to follow, when the youth had the first time an alcohol-free banquet. And I went just to see how people were going to be able to behave and relate socially without alcohol. And I'm really proud to say that it was really successful. I only saw one person that was drunk, and that person came in drunk and was escorted out. We can make a stand against alcohol. And one of the things that I learned as a producer at Channel
people to try their products. And I think that that's something we need to take into consideration. However, the technical things that are worked out is left up to the people that are in the program of buying and promoting programs. However, I want us to go on record as supporting John Binkley's bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. Questions from the committee? I just have one. Is AFM in any way had communications with the members of the board of RatNet and indicated then that they were unhappy with alcohol advertising on RatNet and asked them to change their programming to eliminate it?
Not to my knowledge. However, I will bring that back and we will send a message to RatNet.
Thank you. Should we go to Bethel? Bethel, are you online?
This is Lily Underham.
Go ahead, Lily.
I know.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Lily Underham. And, I don't really know about, you know, the technicalities of television commercials on the networks. But however, I do know that I've been in the field of alcoholism for about 15 years. I work with a few clubs here, which have a majority of the population is Yupik Eskimo. And in regards to the commercials, especially on sports shows, I've seen that quite a bit, more than often. And, you know, we do have the highest rate of alcohol abuse out here. And most of our jails over here are filled with people who are older adults between the mid-20s and early 30s. And in our, much of our problems associated with alcohol abuse, that's a statistic show in regards to Division of Family and Youth Services statistics, our program statistics, court statistics, well, and all that. And for many years I've been in, and we've worked long, hard hours in trying to educate the people out here in regards to, you know, what the consequences are if a person uses alcohol excessively. And at least basically as well as mentally, and when I see those TV commercials, especially on sports commercials, the very advertisements, I can see, you know, what happens to a young person if he sees question up with feel that he utilizes or consumes that's alcoholic beverages will make him more viral or more strong. That's all the athletes. But it is so, the person uses alcohol excessively, it has to be the other way. And have been working, as like I said, for a long time with our people out here. And it hurts me, you know, when we try our best out here with minimal funding from state sources to this rate. More to say, make the wrongs of another culture among our people and to make it to be right again. We have some difficult times with them. And so the larger portion, the great majority of our population over here in the national area, is those commercials through the MedCamp program. But all over here in Bethel, I don't know where else, though. We do have cable TV, and cable TV does that quite often more too as well. But however, the majority of our villagers, received the satellite TV program. And to think about it, for all those people that work so hard to reduce alcohol abuse sometimes doesn't seem like it's considered worth the effort.
I just had one. For example, say it's technically difficult or there's no way the advertising can be blacked out in rural Alaska. Do you think that the people in rural Alaska would support RatNet in not running any of the programs that contained beer or alcoholic advertisement, which are mostly sport programs? Are they willing to get the sport programs up to accomplish that end?
Mr. Chairman, this is Peter Twitchell, RatNet representative for the Association of Village Council Presidents. Can I address that, please?
Go ahead. The question was to Louis, but go ahead, Pete.
Twitchell for the old ranger.
Go ahead. I misunderstood your question, where you were directing. Go ahead.
The question I had for Louis before he left was if it was technically difficult or impossible to black out the advertising that they have on most of the sport programming, do you think rural Alaska is willing to give up sport programming in order to get rid of the alcohol ads?
There's a lot of deer there.
Well, I can say maybe the majority of them would be willing to give up, you know, the sports commercials on the sports network. Myself, you know, I do want sports too, and well, Super Bowl especially. But however, I'm sure you know the majority of the rural people who live out in smaller communities may be in favor of that.
Thank you, Louis. Peter Twitchell.
Yes, good afternoon. I just wanted to applaud Senator Binkley for the bill. I'd really urge him and others to research this to see how we could get the alcohol commercials out of these programs that go over RatNet. We had our hands tied all these years not being able to black these out. And I just wanted to make a couple of comments here. And one was there are about 60 sites out here that get cable television out in rural Alaska, about 180 that depend solely on the RatNet, the state satellite, for their television. And I know a good majority of the people out there enjoy sports, and I think also for the younger generation, you know, there's a plus and minus here. The plus is that there are a lot of good role models out there that are, you know, sport athletes that are participating in these sports that the kids are watching.
Thank you. Any questions on the committee? I understand you're on the RatNet board?
Yes, I am. I represent the ADCP region on the RatNet Council.
Has the RatNet Council ever considered not showing those programs that do hold, that do have the alcoholic ads, rather than trying to eliminate the ads, just eliminate the programming?
I hear you, and I hear the people out here also that don't want the commercials having to do with alcoholic beverages. However, I think sports is a very important form of entertainment, and I just like this investigated further research to see how we can get the commercials out to still show the sports programs that otherwise wouldn't have alcoholic commercials in them.
Thank you. We understand that we're looking for ways of doing it. Thank you, Pete. Any further testimony from Bethel?
Just that, Mr. Chairman, if I could get a complete transcript of this teleconference today that you have, I would appreciate it. If you could make copies available at the legislative information offices.
I think we can do that fine. Is that Pete? Is that Pete Twitchell?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Box 468 Bethel, right?
That's correct.
Okay, we'll send you a copy. We'll go back to Anchorage. We have A.G. Hebert. K.T. Augie Hebert. Y'all still involved in that? KTVA, Anchorage. Augie, you there?
This is Anchorage. Just one moment. He's approaching the mic.
Involved in that?
Good afternoon. I'm A.G. Heber. I'm the chairman and chief executive officer of ATVA Canada in Anchorage. And I'm speaking also on behalf of Al Bramstedt Jr., who is the general manager of Channel 2, KTUU, here in Anchorage. He wasn't able to be here today, and we both agree on parameters of what the subject matter happens to be here. Both of us realize the difficult problem in rural areas with alcoholism and consumption of alcohol, and we're very sympathetic with the direction the Senate bill is aiming. However, there are some mechanical problems with that, and I think the best way to give you a background of how the patent program came about and what the restraints are would be to give you the history of it, if you'd bear with me. In 1976, the whole year was spent with broadcasters working with representatives of the state at the request of the state to come up with some means of providing entertainment programming to rural communities. This was the beginning of what was called the TV Demonstration Project. The state representatives were Mr. Robert Wells, who was the Division of Communications Director, and his assistant, Mr. George Shaganoff. Toward the end of the year, Mr. Shaganoff carried on almost 100% of the negotiations. After all the details were worked out, we found that the networks were not too clear on what we wanted to do and were very concerned about possible violations, copyright violations, and other things that would put them in jeopardy. So George Shaganoff and I went back to New York on January 8, 1977. I represented the broadcasters of Anchorage, and we talked to the legal and affiliate relations people of all three networks and explained to them how it would work. Networks, as I said, were very concerned with potential copyright abuse, and the way they finally resolved the situation was they would allow the programming to be used on a year's trial basis, and then we would come back a year later and report how it worked. Their position of being able to rescind their authority at any time. And the key to how this works is that if providing programming to the little mini TV transmitters around the state really amounts to an extension of our individual affiliation agreements, that is ABC, NBC, and CBS. The original TV demonstration project started with 22 villages, and after a year, it worked very well, and Mr. Shaganoff and I went back to the networks back a year later, reported to them that it was working fine. The networks had found no problems with it, and so they said it was okay to continue again, with the admonition not to abuse the relationship between our affiliation and them, and that if this abuse happened, they could rescind the authority at any time for us to allow our programming to go. Somebody did say, I don't know who it was, and I don't have a copy of it, a year or two later, which showed at the time there's a tendency for people to stay at home to watch the entertainment programming and stay out of bars, and the conclusion of the study was that it was beneficial in that respect. Not only did it provide a lot of entertainement out there, but it also kept people at home rather than in bars.
I'll carry it.
It's been a uniquely successful program in terms of providing entertainment into rural areas where there wasn't any. And this program has been studied by representatives from Australia, South Africa, and China. Regarding bear buying and advertising, that is objectionable. There's no way to delete that programming and still comply with what the network requires of us as affiliates. Part of our network affiliation contract, as Mr. Randall mentioned, and I brought along our CBS contract, and I'll read you the paragraph that says that. It says, the broadcaster shall, with respect to each network program, broadcast over affiliated stations, broadcast such network program in its entirety, including but not limited to commercial announcements, billboards, credits, public service announcements, promotional announcements, and network identification during the entire length of the time period when the network program is offered to broadcasters by CBS. One thing that I should have opened with is the fact that, and Mr. Bramstedt said I could speak for him in this regard too, you must realize that the networks get no benefit from this. their programming going out in rural areas. Get no commercial benefit from it. They get no higher rates for their program spots. We have no benefit from it, from an individual station benefit. So as far as we're concerned, we don't really care whether our programs go out on RadNet or not. Our interest in being here is to explain to you that we think the people in rural Alaska are used to this programming. The broadcasters told the state representatives in 1977, don't start something that will create an appetite out there and then take it off. Because that wouldn't be fair to people in rural areas. But the problem of going to the networks to ask for exceptions to their affiliation contract to us is very, is getting on dangerous ground. I'm convinced that they would emphatically say no. They have nothing to gain by allowing this to happen, and they are endangering copyright restraints that they have. And I think they probably would be concerned with the possibility that the state might revert to, might do program tampering and would cancel the agreement altogether. I'm confident if I went to CBS and said, gee, the state would like to eliminate all beer commercials, how about it? They'd say, forget the whole agreement. And that would end the relationship. The CBS network programming. I can't speak for NBC in that regard, or Mr. Bramstedt, or anybody else. The alternative is to leave network programming and go to what's called syndicated programming, which would cost several hundred dollars an hour, probably up to as high as $600 an hour, if you fill that same amount of time with other entertainment programming. That would eliminate national sports. It would eliminate all kinds of programming, and I would suggest possibly it would have some severe political repercussions. You know, when it comes to trying to eliminate advertising, getting to rural areas, what would the state do about newspapers? What would the state do about magazines? Both of those types of media, convey beer and wine advertising, and traditionally has a band by itself. We don't take on harder advertising. Are you going to keep all that other type of negative advertising as far as liquor is concerned out of the villages? It doesn't seem like a very realistic approach to try and do it this way, which would be a very expensive situation if it could happen at all. Whereas there are other means of influencing the native population. Another thing I think you'd have to admit is that before RadNet started in 1977, there was a severe alcohol problem in the villages, and indeed, before TV was invented, there was a severe alcohol problem in the villages. Alcohol abuse will have to be solved by education, which is expensive too, but I don't think eliminating TV advertising in a bush is going to solve the problem. It's sort of like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And to reiterate, it doesn't matter to the networks, and it doesn't matter to us as TV stations here whether our programming goes out of the bush or not. We just feel that people that have been tuned into these programs and have developed an appetite for them are going to be very hard-pressed to accept the deletion of the programming. And I don't see a solution in deleting the network programming, rather the beer commercials for network programming. For one thing, in the programming other than sports, as well as in sports, we don't know in advance what programs are going to have beer or wine advertising. Sometimes we have a schedule of what's going to be in that program, but sometimes we don't. And so that would be another impediment in trying to pick the program, meaning that does have beer and wine and the programming does not. That's a real problem, and we sympathize with your dilemma, and we certainly appreciate what you're trying to do to help the native population in regard to this subject, but it's not going to be an easy matter to resolve by trying to do it in regard to network programming. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions on the committee? Senator Binkley?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I did have a couple of questions, Augie. let's see, go back to the beginning of my notes here. You mentioned one thing, Augie, that there was no commercial benefits to the local affiliates like yourself. I know just from personal experience, and again, I don't have a lot of knowledge about this area, but personal experience, I've spent several thousands of dollars with your station and other stations during my last Senate campaign in 1986, attempting to get television coverage on my television spots out to rural Alaska, and I went down to your station and others and purchased time, gave you the money, and I assumed that that went directly to your station and the other stations in order to get on RatNet. So there must be some way that you and the other stations benefit financially other than just from your benevolence.
It's a coincidence that your commercials got on a RatNet program. For one thing, the program they record and put on the air is a network program. They're not committed to take any of the adjacent spots, which would be what a political spot would be, and run it. All they are committed to do is take the network spot, and we don't know whether they take the break before the program or after the program, or if they leave intact the mid-break of an hour-long program. If they did leave intact the mid-break of an hour-long program, that is one possibility where your spot would get on the air, but we don't. Our rate card has to do with what our rates are worth in Anchorage and what our coverage in the Matsu Valley and the Kenai Cook Inlet area.
No, it was all kinds of
anywhere in the state because we don't know what RatNet does, but the breaks before and after programming.
Is that your money?
No. No, I already got my money. Well, I don't know the details, but I know that the checks went to you guys and the spots got on the air. I'm not sure exactly what the mechanics were, but somehow that's how it worked out and what the ultimate response or the ultimate result was. So there must be some way that you're able to sell spots that get coverage statewide through the RatNet system.
I don't know how. We can't guarantee that, and we don't guarantee that. As I say, we don't know what RatNet puts on here other than the network program that they choose from our station.
No, I know.
Choose some from us, some from ABC, and some from NBC. And political spots are scattered all over the day and night.
And they came on in my district with no question about it. I paid them the money and they came out of the screen.
Did I sell you spots?
No. You put my spots
right there?
I got a TV program. I'll sell you
spots. We don't sell commercial or political spots for our coverage on RatNet. And that's a misunderstanding on the part of you, the politician. That's unfortunate. But it is not so that way.
Ask for your money back.
Well,
we can't guarantee it. Our rates are based on Anchorage, Kenai Cook Inlet, and Matsu Valley coverage.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I could, I'd be happy to present you with a copy of the bills I paid to you, Augie, and maybe we could work out some kind of a reimbursement then. But I know that my spots were seen out in rural Alaska over at that. I saw them myself, so somehow or another, I paid you the money, and you got them on the air out around rural Alaska, and I appreciated that. But anyhow, on with a couple other questions. I just wonder, have you actually asked the networks, Augie, if they would be willing to do that? And then, of course, that would be an opportunity for yourselves and the other local affiliates to go out and to sell spots to advertisers in Anchorage or other parts of Alaska that want to reach that audience out in rural Alaska, maybe cars or grocery stores or hardware stores or people who have a lot of customers out in that area and want to reach that consuming part of the public. That would be an opportunity for you to delete some of those national ads and insert some local ads and generate some revenue at the local level to cover the costs associated with actually doing that editing.
The networks will not let us delete their commercials and insert any other commercials. Were you listening when I read the paragraph?
Well, I'm reading another paragraph here from NBC that it says you will not, without NBC's prior written authorization, make any deletions from or additions to any program furnished to you here under or broadcast any commercial or other announcements during any such program. It just says you will not do it without their written authorization. The question was, have you asked them? Have you gone and said, hey, here's what we're trying to do. We've got a problem out in rural Alaska with alcohol. The legislature is interested in addressing that problem. Here's an opportunity for the networks to show some sensitivity to a unique problem in Alaska and at the same time allow your local affiliates, yourself, to recover any costs that might be associated with the additional time necessary to delete those programs by going out and selling local spots.
In recent times, I have not asked the network in regard to bigger line advertising. In recent times, I have tried to get them to release spots on products that are not distributed in Alaska. For example, Red Lobster is advertised quite a bit on CBS in the restaurant. And so we have no Red Lobster restaurants up here. I have asked the network if we can delete those commercials and substitute our own commercials. And they say, no, you can't do that. So they're very firm in this regard. If I go to the network and ask them if beer and wine advertising could be deleted, and they, would they be willing to rewrite their affiliation agreement with me, I think the answer would come back, forget the whole deal and restrict CBS programming from going on RadNet. And if you want to take the responsibility of my doing that and depriving the folks out there of the next Super Bowl, I'd be glad to do it.
Well, I appreciate your political advice on that, Doggy. You know, in my district, I think I have a pretty good sense of what goes on out there, and I think that there is a real concern over a vast majority of the constituents about alcohol and the destruction and despair that it causes. And I think they are offended many times by the fact that the state is subsidizing to go into their homes and to promote the use of alcohol. And that's a political battle that I'm certainly willing to confront, and I wouldn't have introduced the bill if I hadn't believed strongly in that. contrary to your statement that that advertising alcohol doesn't make any difference in rural Alaska, I disagree. I think that the alcohol industry advertises because it sells more alcohol. That's the reason McDonald's advertises. That's the reason that almost any other company in the United States advertises, because there's a benefit. You spend some money and you get more money back as a result of doing that. And that's why they do it, because people consume more alcohol. So I think it would make a difference. And just to follow up on one other thing, it's not just to help the native population. There's a lot of non-natives that live in rural Alaska, a lot of non-natives in Alaska that abuse alcohol. And it's simply not a native issue, but one that a lot of Alaskans face. That concludes any of my questions, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mark.
Cigarette advertising on all kinds of network and local advertising, and I'm not so sure any statistics other than some that stop people from buying cigarettes. They still want to stop the advertising in magazines and newspapers. Cigarette advertising has gone down in recent years, and I think the reason for that is that the publicity that it kills you.
Just one other thing, Mr. Chairman, if I could, in response to your comment about other forms of advertising alcohol in rural Alaska, and should we restrict or stop that? And I don't think that really pertains to the issue at hand. The issue at hand is, should the state of Alaska, all the people in Alaska, subsidize out of their pocket the advertisement of alcohol in rural Alaska? And categorically, my answer to that is no, they should not. And that's why I introduced the bill.
I understood the RadNet program and why the state asked the broadcasters to work this out with our network affiliate, our network entertainment to rural areas. The subject of whether the state would subsidize one type of advertising over another was not relevant then, and I still think that what's relevant is the entertainment value of you're getting billions of dollars of value worth of network programming from the three networks absolutely free for people who can't get it any other way. I admit it's a dilemma, and I don't have any solution to it. It's quite a dilemma, and the solution to it is don't take any network programming and go to syndicated programming and come up with another couple of $1 million a year to buy the programming.
Get rid of them. Get rid of
the
program.
The problem with that is you're not going to get the sports that the people out there really enjoy.
Augie, could you maybe bring us up to speed on how the different networks obtain time on RatNet? You work out some type of agreement with the other stations, so ABC, CBS, NBC are all part of the programming. How do you do that mechanically?
RatNet has meetings. The board has meetings from time to time here in Anchorage. And our program directors from the three stations go to visit those meetings, and we make available to them on a regular basis what our program schedule is. and they go through and we give them material on what the programs are about. If a new program comes along, we let them know what the description of the program is, and they sit through and decide however means they get the material, probably some from us, some from reviews of the program that they read magazines. They select a cross-section of programming from the three network-affiliated stations here. We have no way of insisting what they take and what they don't take. We just offer all the programming on a platter, and they pick what they want. That's the mechanics of how it works.
Okay, then, is there some way you can determine what programs contain alcoholic advertisements and which ones don't for the use of the committee?
No. That information far enough in advance. Sometimes we don't have it at all. Sometimes we get what the commercial load on program will be the day before it goes on. No practical way of getting that information to the delay center to either take that program and not take it, or to substitute another one. The problem here is that we just don't know when this alcohol advertising is coming along.
Well, we know Mr. Rogers does not have alcohol. We know that Super Bowl does. So it seems to me there are some programs that contain those ads, and mostly sport programs. And it seems to me some way from experience, from people working in your company and other companies, would know which ones contain alcoholic ads. And they could say these programs contain alcoholic ads and let the board decide. If we were to pass this bill, the board would be required not to put those programs on. So that's the answer, I guess.
And we don't know what ads are going to be in the program. They rotate all the time. You know, the days of having Procter & Gamble sponsor a program, the entire program, or even half a program anymore, those days are gone. You have programs of spot carriers. They have room for so many spots, and the network sales departments are out scratching around trying to find advertisers, and they may sell a spot on Friday to go on the program on Sunday. It's that way. That's why it's so hard to know ahead of time what programs are going to have liquor advertising in them. But most of the advertising for liquor is in sports, and if you deleted all sports and just figured out when you reduce maybe 80% or 90% of the extraneous advertising that comes along, that would be a step in the right direction, perhaps, and then just take your chances on the occasional beer and wine advertising that shows up on entertainment programming. That may be a way to at least reduce it, because sports programming really has most of this. Liquor advertising. You might consider something like that if the people in RatNet out there who are so content with sports now agree to it.
Well, it seems to me then, if in fact the bill does pass, which prohibits advertising on network on RatNet, the board would be compelled choose those programs which they knew did not have alcoholic advertisements, and that you wouldn't have to black out or get in problems of patents or whatever it might be. It would be, and it wouldn't create any problems for the networks, would it, if they gave you a list of the programs they considered safe and you go ahead and put the programs on? Would that create a problem for the stations in Anchorage?
Not at all. As I stated earlier, we don't really care if our programming goes out there or not, and neither does the network, especially if it could endanger the network from their copyright laws and restrictions and their relationship with the affiliate. The easiest thing for the networks to do if this is a problem is to say, you're an affiliate, you're forbidden from sending any programming out there. But what we could do is if we know the Super Bowl is going to have advertising, we know the baseball is going to have it, always has that. So that wouldn't be safe, let us say, would be put on the promoting list. And on the entertainment programming, if we could find out ahead of time, we could try that. But I don't think that would be very successful, just because the commercial load in sports is worked out ahead of time. Those are sold way in advance. But advertising and other programs are sold right up to the last minute. Very competitive business in network programming.
Well, what you're saying, it seems to me, we could solve this problem in Alaska rather than going to the networks and asking them if we can black them out, right?
Yes, if the people out of the bush would be willing to delete, especially sports programs, I'd be willing to go to the network and ask them what they say, and
14 years or whatever it is, that's a chance you'd have to take. And if you want me to do that, if that would be willing to do it.
I'm not requesting that, but maybe Senator Binkley would.
Because I think I know what's going to happen.
The question is, do you want Augie to write the networks and requesting that, give them permission to black out the advertising?
I'd be happy to actually go back to New York with Augie, and maybe we can talk to the executives there, the CBS executives, and see if we can work something out.
But the flip side is that if they say, well, it's not worth fooling with, we're going to drop it anyway, it's a great experiment, it's dead, then you want to take that responsibility?
Well, it's an experiment that's worked for 13 years, and let's go talk to them. I don't think they'd drop it just because we talked to them about it.
Yeah, may. Anyway, if you'd like to go back then, I'd be very glad to take you. I don't know the people in ABC and NBC that we dealt with in 1977 anymore, but they don't know the people at CBS very well, and we could get names or perhaps the...
I'd like to remind Senator Binkley that bill is in this committee, and if anybody goes to New York, we're going. Thank you, Augie. Is there anyone else on the network who wants to testify on Senate Bill 455?
I'll make a motion to do that.
Thank you very much. Go for it.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we pass. No, go ahead.
No, go.
I move that we pass Senate Bill 455 from the committee with individual recommendations.
Any objections?
Motion
carried. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and committee members.
No taking it on 455.
It's gone.
What was that?
No taking testimony on Senate Bill 455.
It's in the next committee now. Thank you.
Are we going to hold the rest of these over?
Well, we're going to try to get some more. Good here.
Censorship.
Oh, we're going to hold House Bill 406.
Subsidized.
It'll be censorship.
We just ran out of time. And we're going to try to deal with.
Hello.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. See you in New York.
Okay.
Is anyone on the line?
This is Contribute. We're still online.
Yeah, this is Seward. I was wanting to testify on Senate Bill 455. Is anybody still there?
Yes, we're still here, but the bill has been passed out of committee. I'm sorry, you weren't listed on this year on the schedule.
I didn't call specifically to testify on this bill. I may have misidentified the number.
Well, are you calling from Seward?
Yes. 2 minutes.
Oh, we're not listed. Seward wasn't listed, but...
Seward was a special request.
No, she mentioned 501. I may have put my name down by that one.
He did.
Okay, that's the one we'll have. We hope we can get to today. You want to testify in 455? Go ahead.
Yes, this is Carl Berger. I'll be brief. I'm speaking as a private individual. I'd like to echo several of the points that were made by other speakers. Worked at the Bush for a number of years, both for Health Corporation and for Social Service Agency. I was involved several years ago, 4 years ago specific, in trying to get the disclaimer announcement on the RAPNet having to do with advertising, particular advertising. Worked very closely with Senator Ferguson at that time. We were successful in getting that disclaimer notice on. I think the question about whether or not affiliation agreements can be renegotiated is a very important point, and it was raised at that time, and not much happened. But I do feel like Senator Binkley is on the right track with that Bill 455. I do believe that there is a possibility of blacking out these programs. I know specifically there's a station in rural Alaska that blacks out commercial advertising on programs. I feel like that manager needs to be contacted to find out how he does it. It's been done for several years. I would also like to comment on the mental health value of entertainment goes into villages through the rural Alaska satellite network. I think it's important that people not be misled to believe that sports programming is at risk here. I think there may be a way of still allowing programming
and deleting those speaker advertisements.
To do evil.
I would also encourage those members of the RatNet board who are listening that there are quite a number of people in rural Alaska who are concerned about this issue. And I feel that while it has been brought before the RatNet board in the past, that this needs to again be considered, and some of these options that have been discussed today need also be considered so that wishes of the people view these programs without choice in many instances in many villages. Their views heard and acted upon. I believe that's all I
care to say. Thank you. We'll go to. We're going to delay, postpone the hearing on Senate Bill 4, House Bill 406, House Bill 442. I'm sorry, some of the people have left who wanted the amendments on the tourism bill. And we'd like to go into 501, which is for people on network waiting to testify on that bill. And we didn't realize that this was going to take so long. But we'll bring it up as quickly as possible. Hell, I don't know what it is. In my book. That's a good one. We have the department people here?
On your way.
Okay. We have before the committee.
The committee's still online.
We're still here. We have before the committee.
Are they saying when they take testimony on Bill 501?
Put your link on.
Yes, we'll get to you. We're just getting started. What we have. This bill before the committee, which has a wide open title, according to Senator Fink.
Absolutely.
Which we're interested in tightening as much as possible. What we have, we've taken testimony on this bill, and what we're trying to do is to, number one, this is just speaking in general, as we're trying to tighten it up. Number two, make sure that charitable organizations get their fair share of the take. If I had my brothers, I'd just soon have them do it all themselves, but obviously we are not in that ballpark anymore. But that's what we're attempting to do. And this is not a committee substitute. It is a rough draft of a committee substitute. We have to have something to work with. So most of these provisions are incorporated, are recommendations of the department. Some of them we have not put in. We found they weren't necessary. Probably the committee would not, with some discussion on it at the last meeting, not in here. But. The bill, once again, is open for amendment, anything you want to do, but I'm not in favor of loosening it up any. I'm not even sure I'm in favor of the bill.
Okay, let's count.
But we can't do that because it's a wide-open ball game out there, and we have to put some controls on it, and otherwise it's going to grow like Topsy, and we won't be able to control it at all.
Corruption's going to sneak in real fast.
And it's, you know, like Senator Padula said, it's flat-out gambling, and I don't think that less.
$200 million last year.
Yeah. $200 million.
This
business.
I'm a gambler.
I'm gonna lose it, but not a gambler.
That's
right.
You are a gambler.
I am not.
You are too.
We believe that.
You play poker all the time.
You're on the record, you know, and this transcript is be submitted to.
If I play poker, I play it very poorly, I'll tell you that. I wish I could get the poker players, but I can't reach them with this bill.
Okay.
We're waiting for.
What are we waiting for?
Okay. If you'll open your folder, you will find the recommendations of Department of Commerce, page 3. And it pretty well tracks what we've done here. You have also in your folder a recommendation.